You were kind of going through this with some of the statistics, but how weird was it for you to call Dylan Cease's start last night because he toggled between complete domination and really, really high exit velo for the Yankees?
Yeah, I don't know what that was last night. I had four or five Sox fans of mine ask me, was Dylan good last night? And they had watched the game. And my answer is, I think so. I mean, in order to strike out 11 in four innings, you have to have good stuff. You just have to, by definition. And I also think that game is the perfect example of why people pay for strikeouts. Because when you have a lineup full of mashers that hit the ball hard, when they hit the ball, if they hit the ball, they're going to hit it hard. Like, logically, that just flows. And so I think that is the perfect example of why pitchers hunt strikeouts nowadays, because when you miss, some lineups are really going to make you pay. I mean, for everybody that says, like, get them over, get them in, well, the Yankees just doubled and tripled and homered their way to a big six runs in the first four innings, even though they struck out 11 times. And so I think my major takeaway, and you can look through whatever prism you want, but the prism that I look through is, look, the way offense works nowadays, if you strike out 11 times in four innings and you put up six runs, got what you wanted.
I agree with that. Jason Benetti here with me. You can catch him on the White Sox broadcast. You can also check him out on the Peacock National broadcast. I want to get to that in a minute. I've enjoyed you and Stoney talking about the miseducation of Michael Kopech. I've enjoyed watching him go from being a guy that's in high leverage bullpen situations to him now being a starter. How has he handled this so far from your perspective? And is the sky the limit? Because it certainly looks like it with him, which is also unfair.
But I think that's what he wants. Like, before, Michael's competitiveness used to come out in, am I throwing 101? Now his competitiveness comes out in, I threw 83 pitches at Wrigley, I want to throw more. And I know some people watch that and they say that, you know, you can't let that frustration out. I just think that that's the way he channels it nowadays. And I said, I alluded to it last night, but we talked for maybe 10 minutes in Minneapolis about his maturity and how interesting the transformation has been, because when you watch that debut from 4 years ago, he looks like he's 12.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got like the rugged, bearded spirit of looking over a cliff and pondering life. And he's still in his mid-20s. And so, you know, his understanding is he has gotten so much more mature, but he's still a little bit of a kid too. And I just think watching that juxtaposition is one of the long-term things that really brings me joy from watching baseball on a night-to-night basis, because it really is like one of those presidential flip books where you see the former president go gray at some point in his tenure, or, you know, gather wrinkles on his face or whatever it might be. And you watch Michael over the course of start after start after start, and it's almost unobtrusive when that change, that diversion came, when that improvement came, but you know it when you see it. And I think we're seeing that corner get turned by Michael Kopech, and specifically when it happened, I don't think anybody knows how to pinpoint that over the course of a baseball season, even though we try. But I also think being a dad, you know, Michael talked about how much being a dad motivates him, and that level of maturity that comes with responsibility, I truly believe we can see on the mound.